I don't say this often, but I want to encourage you to just pray for the worship team, and don't ever hesitate to thank them. We work hard to create an atmosphere, a place of worship, so that you can enter in. The whole thing is that we have this time where we can enter in together into praise and worship, and all kinds of things. You can work hard, but all kinds of things hold that back and suppress you. And sometimes we're nervous and we're working hard at doing things well and right. And there's just a cost. I appreciate the team so much. They are working hard and working together. All the things that you don't see that are going on behind the scenes. I just love our drummers and all the guys and the girls. And I looked over today at Summer, and she's, you know, carrying this basketball around with her, her and Katie are them and their husbands are in my church growth program, so they've been contributing. They're alternating, and you know, and one's in, one's out, one's growing, one's, you know. And the picture, I work with the girls sometimes on Tuesday mornings, and Alan, and the best is lately, Katie brings Tirza and has, you know, one of those things that women have that carries a baby, looks like a little Indian, you know, they carry him. So she'll be sitting there playing her keyboard with Tirza. Tirza's cooperating at this point. I think once Ezra has more influence on her, that will end. But anyways, she'll sit through a whole practice, hardly make a sound, even when she's awake. She's in this little carrier with Katie, or she lays on the floor and just looks around. It's like, wow, take those moments, you know. But I just appreciate the girls and the guys and everybody that works hard. Pray. Our goal, if this doesn't happen, then all the work is in vain. That we make that connection with heaven, and that we usher you in to this worship, because in that, if we can do that successfully, and there's no formula for it, supernatural things can start happening to a much greater extent while we're here. Healings can take place, and people's hearts can be changed just because they walk through the door. And I'll have people visiting saying, wow, I experienced something. We're like, oh, we just feel blood and sweat and tears. You know, that's what we're experiencing, you know, the hard work and getting through stuff. But people do testify to experience those things. And we create something for our community. And I often, when we're worshiping, I'm aware that the worship, we start to worship, we sing a song, we release a sound, and it moves out. I'm so aware of this. It moves out. And we keep pressing this out. And it starts changing the territory and the atmosphere. And that is not a given. That's not an automatic. There are places we can affect this whole region, that this is a region where people drive. I experience different spirits. When I drive, I experience different atmospheres in towns and cities. Just driving, I'll feel something. I can discern that. I'm not even great at it, but I'm just aware of it. There are places that I'm at that I just driving through. Let's just say just driving through, I can feel creative and I feel powerful and I just feel good. There are places I feel very intimidated, very, you know, I'm struggling. That's not a good thing on my part, but it's the reality. You can sense the atmosphere of things. You can sense these things. And I want it's a real thing is all I'm saying. And I want the atmosphere as people come nearer to this place. And as we corporately, and it extends out into all the communities that you're from. It's a real thing. And then people can believe. The people that are without Christ, they're in a stupor. They're blind. They cannot tell. They cannot discern truth. They're so lost, and they mean well, but they're so lost without the Spirit of the Lord breaking through and bringing revelation and insight. And so we do our part. And so be in intercession and pray anytime that you think for us, for me as a leader, for Phyllis, for all of us, that we can get this, that we can lead well, that we can accomplish the task that we're sent for. Because there's other things that are working in the other direction. Does that sum it up? And those things are powerful. Those things are powerful. I just read something today. India is declaring, I don't think that a cow is allowed to be sold now if it's going to be butchered, if it's going to be used for food. It cannot be sold. I've been there, driving around the sacred cow that's laying in the street. Everything that's, wow. We're worshiping the creation rather than the creator. And there's stuff happening in our nation. Are you praying for my president? He's at the same place that John F. Kennedy was at before he got assassinated. That's where he's at. And whether you like his personality or not, I don't really care. Almost anybody that is standing with him right now didn't like him as far as his personality goes. But because of identifying what he stands for and what he's saying and what he's trying to accomplish, there's never been a man with so much opposition right in his own house, that big White House that he lives in. And in my heart, I'm in covenant with this man. Whether I like everything he does or not is irrelevant. I'm in covenant with him. And I stand with him. Where are the covenant people? We're not covenant people in our culture. We just think it's fair game to criticize everything. I'm not under anybody. I'm not under anything. Folks, that stinks. And the level of rebellion right now in our country, I didn't mean to jump into this, but the level of rebellion, it's really grieving. It's grieving. That's not freedom. That's mutiny. That's rebellion. To just blatantly withstand the orders and the rules, the laws of our land, the Constitution. So we need to stand in a place and be firm and be rooted and not go with them, but listen for the truth and discern the truth and stand for things and honor God's order and his authority that he puts in place. And if it's corrupt, let the Lord vindicate and deal with that. I got a ringing. Are you working on that? Thank you, Adam. I know you are. Ringing, 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 ringing. Turn with me to Genesis 4. I have had a prevailing word. I love when I get prevailing words. They're just always, it's a word. It's a scripture usually. And it's just always appropriate. And I just call it up. I speak it maybe out loud even. And it gives me direction. It settles me. And recently I got this prevailing word. It's out of Genesis chapter 4, and I'm going to share out of that today. Let me just begin to read. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. You know what that looks like, don't you? When a person's countenance falls, it's like all over their face that they're not doing well inside, right? You've got to be a really good actor to hide that when it shows up. Boom. I mean, the whole, it's just, woo, it's here. Big time. Oof. Cain didn't do anything. He was angry and his countenance fell. It's the look on his face. And so the father comes to him. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? And then he gives him instruction. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up, or will not you be accepted? Will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well at this moment, be careful. You're in a very precarious place. Sin is crouching at the door. Sin lies at the door. It's waiting to devour you, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. So if you're honest with yourself and you're in this moment of your countenance has fallen, you are grieved, you are bitter, you are angry, something's gone wrong, and you're not good with life, with God, with people, nothing, like boom, you're there. And it can be a real big emotional thing, or it can be small, but it's still the same principle. When you're in that place, sin is crouching at the door, watching for you to make one wrong move. It's the lioness out in the wilderness watching one little wildebeest get isolated from the group, prowling, watching through the weeds, waiting for that moment. And so this is one of those passages that early in my walk I was aware of. And I would look at this, and I've heard teachings like, well, Cain didn't offer blood. Abel offered blood in his sacrifice. That's why it was acceptable. And Cain didn't. Problem is, and I understand the application. I really do. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. I get it. However, that's not what the scripture says. It does not say that. You can make the application. I'm good with it. Okay. But it's not what it says. It only says this, that, and I believe the Lord, a good father looking at his son's heart going, son, why are you angry? Why are you mad? I know why you're mad, but I'm asking you, do you know why you're mad? What's your reason for being mad? Like this rhetorical question your parents ask you when you're, you know, what's up? And they're like, you're like, you know full well what's up, you know. You just grounded me. I'm not allowed to do something such and such. Like, don't even give me those questions, mom, you know. He asked this rhetorical question. I know the answer. Do you know the real answer? Why did I not honor your gift, your sacrifice? You brought of the offering of your fruit. Doesn't say that was his first fruits, whereas Cain's, Abel's, it was the first fruit. So could have been that. But here's my point. Cain knew. Whatever it was that was wrong, that wasn't right, and if he didn't know, this is the moment where he goes, oh, there was something wrong. I better find out what was wrong. Yeah? Because the Lord honored that offering of my brother's, and I'm really PO'd about it. I'm really, you know, upset about that. But now I'm having a come to Jesus moment, and it's time to, okay, so what is wrong? So the father loves him. He cares about Cain as much as he does Abel, and he approaches him. He's like, son, I'm going to give you a hint. If you just fix this, if you get it right, if you do well, just do what you know to be right, then your countenance will be lifted up. Everything will be good. Why will your countenance be lifted up? Because I will accept your offering. That's why. I'm going to make this good. This is going to be good. Just pay attention to something. I cannot bless that because there's a problem, and you just need to fix the problem, and then we're good. We're going to go forward from here. So when I feel the, for me, I haven't been angry about anything as much as just like, oh, what's the thing to do? What's the focus? And having a season in my life where it's hard to really identify, here's the thing. So it can be that simple. And the scripture came back to me, and so I just pray this to calm down that anxiety. Like, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? So what? So I just ask, what's the good thing to do today? What's the thing that is right? And do that regardless of emotions or feelings. And if I do that, I trust that the Lord that my that he will take care of, things will be good. And in and for every person, identify the thing for you that is the good thing to do, the thing between you and the Lord, your conscience, like you know, what is it you're to do? Just do that and trust that if you do that, it is a key. It unlocks all the other things. You do well because you are powerful to control you. You get to control yourself. You get to decide for yourself what's right. You don't, no enemies. You're not a victim. You get to choose, do well. You're counting, things will work out. Like that's, oh, happy day. What is the right thing to do? It may be get the laundry done, do the ironing, mow the grass. I don't feel like mowing the grass, mow the grass anyways. Overcome something that's hard. It can be even simple, practical things. It doesn't have to be any grand thing. Face something. Make a phone call that's hard to make. Take a risk that you know you should, but you're only doing it because you're not doing it because you're afraid or you're cowardly about it. Face that, and things will start to change. It never helps to compare yourself. It never helps to try to keep up with somebody else. That doesn't fix anything. Just identify, and if you will just obey that voice, you will find yourself in the flow of the Spirit. And trust me, your countenance will be lifted up in that. So in the middle of my message today, I've asked Jenna to share a testimony, a story. It's so perfect. She shared this. I'm like, this is, I want her to share this because it is this thing. Find, hear the voice of the Lord and obey it.
I thought I was going to get away with it. So,
what are the chances?
Yeah, right? Yeah, so on Friday, I got off of work. I was talking to Kevin and I said, you know, I have so much to do. Let's just not hang out. Let's just do our own thing. So I'm driving down 224 and I just felt go to Goodwill. And I thought, that's not the Lord, because anybody that knows me knows that would be Jenna talking versus the Lord. And I'm never going to put that on him. So I actually drove past it and it was like, turn around. And it wasn't that audible voice, but you just felt it. So I was like, really? And it's a sale to boot. So that's double whammy. So I go in and I park my car. And I have to interject the story because I've been reading this book called Captivating.
Yes.
And it talks about wounds, and it's like just going back to my past. And I'm like, oh. So anyway, it's been really great. And I encourage anybody who hasn't heard of it or read it to get it. There's John and Stacy Eldridge, right?
Yes.
I said that right?
Eldridge.
Is
it Stacy that wrote?
Yeah,
that's
Stacy,
her name,
his
Stacy.
Wife. John wrote Wild at Heart. And then Stacy wrote this Captivating, and it's talking about your wounds and how you feel like you don't have any wounds, or you have wounds in there, but how do you get that to go away? And it talks about just asking Jesus to be in your heart and inviting him to meet you where you were at that place, because he can do that healing. So anyway, I thought I'd love to get some copies, and me being the cheapo, I looked online, and they were like, $16 or $20. So I was like, forget it. So anyway, yeah. So I go in and I go to the books and I see this Thy Kingdom Come book. I open it up and it's Bob Jones's Prophecy. Talks about that. I'm like, sure, okay. And I look down and I saw Love and Respect. I forgot that. And I saw two Captivating books and they were the hardback cover. And they said $22.99 for 50 cents. So I was like, oh, this is why I was here, to buy these to bless them. I'm like, all right, my assignment's done, and I get rammed by this lady, this cart, which normally I think that's funny, getting, I don't know, and she had her arm like this, and her legs were in like this, and she said, I'm so sorry, and I thought, oh, shut up, I know exactly why I'm here, and I'm like, shut up, Lord. So I said to her, I'm like, that's okay, And I'm looking at her, and she's, like, staggering. I thought, oh, God, help me. And she's a black lady to boot. Kind of, never mind. Anyway, so she goes into the next aisle, and I'm like, okay, I have an assignment. So I sneak my card up, and I said, hi. And she looks, and she's trying to get her jacket on, and she says, hi. I said, do you need help? She said, no. And I said, this is going to sound like a weird question, but what happened to your leg? Or what happened to your legs? And she said, I had a stroke, and she's talking to me about it. And I said, well, can I pray for you? I feel like God has brought me here. And I said, I normally don't, that's my future husband, not me. Like, I don't feel like that's ever me. I said, but I do feel like I was called here to pray for you. And she looked at me and she went, yes. So I pray and I said, how are you feeling? Like, did you have any pain? Did you? And she said, no. She says, I got this, like, this sensation feeling. And she just, like, goes all out. And I'm like, oh, okay. And she said, I got to tell you, I have some wounds in my heart, and I'm not going to be lying to you. I don't like whites. I'm like, you don't like whites? Oh, that's great, because now I'm like, thank God you didn't tell me that, because I would have jumped 10 feet back. And seriously, I thought, oh, Jesus, help me. So we talked for 45 minutes. The coolest thing was her wounds. She says, I have wounds towards my grandfather, for my grandfather, towards white people. And she said, I don't know that I can forgive any of them. And I said, but you can. I said, because here's why. And I showed her my book. And I said, this, I believe, if you like books, you're going to love this, because it talks about healing your wounds. And I said, I know there is. She said, you should be a speaker. I said, no, no, no. I said, Jesus is alive. And I said, Joel Reichlin always says, Jesus is alive and he is our friend. I said, he is your friend. And so I bought her the book for 50 cents. I was able to deliver and I walked out. And the truest testimony is I didn't go shopping. I didn't buy my deals of, you know, 20 plus. I bought a couple books and a board game for us later. But I only spent $4.96. And then I get home and it's like 7:45. And I thought, everything that I had on the list, it just went away, because God has a way of doing that. I mean, amen. So yeah, there's that was that.
What will it look like if every one of you just obey that voice today, tomorrow? Don't complicate it. Just drive down the road. He's speaking. He's willing to speak. If we'll hear, and when you hear the whisper, don't just click it off, but pay attention and take it serious. And you'll know, like this, you may not have understanding, and we always argue ourselves out of obedience, don't we? We just talk ourselves right out of it. Why it's a dumb idea. And the Holy Spirit just gets quiet. Okay, you win the argument. Who knows what we miss if we'll just be obedient in those simple things. That's a phenomenal story. Do you understand the issue of racism, like the struggles that people have? They're real struggles. You can say it's wrong all you want. That doesn't fix anybody's heart. We have the answer to this. It's not just what's right and wrong about the world. We have the answer. We have the healing touch. We're carrying the answer by ministering, by obeying, by showing this thing. Who knows what that will do? There's no end. There's no limit to it. It's so powerful. In Psalms 5, I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation, so it may fit your version. It may not. psalmist begins, as Brian Simmons relates it, "Listen to my passionate prayer. Can't you hear my groaning?" Anybody have groanings? Anybody direct those groanings to the Lord, like, "Lord, hear my cry"? Groaning to me does not help you, or to your husband or wife or your friends. But groaning to heaven, I'd encourage you to do that by yourself. You're the one that's in misery. Just keep that between you and Jesus. Groan, but groan to him. Cry out. What's that heart cry? Get it turned into prayer. Heaven loves that, because that's where the transformation can take place. "Don't you hear in verse 2 how I'm crying out to you, my King and my God? Consider my every word, for I am praying to you. At each and every sunrise, you will hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you. And every morning, I will wait for your fire to fall on my heart." And Brian Simmons wrote it this way because it refers to the preparation of the morning sacrifice. And once the sacrifice is prepared, there's this waiting for the fire from heaven to come down on the offering. And now we're back to Cain and Abel. Abel had some kind of real manifestation that the Lord received his offering. And Cain saw that, and let's say it was consumed by fire. I mean, something happened that everybody knew. Abel's sacrifice, his offering got accepted, and Cain's didn't. It's that thing where two of you come with an offering, and fire falls on one and consumes one of them, which is a good thing in this case, not a bad thing. This isn't like burning supper or anything like that. And the other, it's still there. It's like it's obvious to everybody that your offering didn't get accepted. I mean, you can experience that just leading worship. Somebody else can lead a worship song. Everybody's like, "Go, goes, gaga, gaga," after enters into the Lord. And then you lead your song and nothing. It's that thing. "Lord, what did my song get?" It can be that simple. They gave a testimony and I gave a testimony. Theirs went great. Mine's like hit the floor. They had a word and I had a word. Five people said, "Oh, that really ministered to me." And mine, nobody. Like, anybody feel that? Anything? Nothing? Nothing? You know. We don't have an answer for it. It really needs to be between the Lord, because you just can't discern by that, but that feeling is real, isn't it? And this preparing your heart and coming as the morning sacrifice, preparing your heart. Giving that, waiting on the Lord for the fire to fall. "I know you are a God who is never pleased with lawlessness. Evil ones will never be invited as your guests. Boasters collapse and cannot survive your scrutiny, for your hatred of evildoers is clear. You will make an end of all those who lie. How you hate their hypocrisy, and you despise all who love violence. But I know the way home, and I know you will welcome me into your house, for I am covered by your covenant of mercy and love." Are you covered by the covenant? Do you know that you're covered by the covenant of mercy and love? Do you interact with the Lord and function with him out of this covenant? That's why I talk freely about my heart with our president. Like, this president, he's not just officially my but my heart. I entered into making a covenant in my heart to stand with him. He's my leader. He's my president. And he happens to represent a lot of things that I believe are really important. He may or may not do well, but I'm in covenant with him on the good days and on the bad days. How much more that we function in covenant, and the Lord has made a covenant with us. Like, That is what you have here. That is what is offered here, to be a God that has made covenant with you. And you, we function under this covenant. That's, we don't trust because we don't understand what covenant is. Covenant doesn't just come and go. When you enter into covenant with the Lord, and he, and of course he keeps both sides of it, he makes it for us. You don't just vacillate in and out of that covenant. It's like your marriage. Your marriage is it's a real thing, isn't it, folks? Is it more than a piece of paper? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And you don't flip in and out of marriage every time you're having a bad day or you have a fight with your husband or wife, do you? I mean, I hope you don't. No, because it endures. I mean, you can really have a conflict and, you know, you're still married. You're still in that thing. It surpasses the good and the bad. It surpasses the, and so it's really a big deal when that covenant gets broken. Even people that say it doesn't matter, it matters. That's why it's such a big thing. It's not even about being condemned about it or the right and wrong of it. It's just, it's the reality of it. If you've believed in the Lord Jesus and you have, he's come into your heart, you're in covenant with him, and that looks different than our high school friendships and junior high friendships. Do you understand that? It's not fickle. It's abiding. When you have his name, I just think we need encouraged about this to understand this is the relationship. So when you come to him, you don't have to bring up all the mistakes you just made yesterday. If there's something to repent for, absolutely do so. But at some point, you must enter into walking with him and understanding there's a connection, and he's all about helping you, and you don't have to keep reestablishing that continually. And it's not based on your performance. He's for you. If he's for you, who can be against you? Did they die for you? He's for you. He's with you. And the psalmist understands the covenant of mercy and love. So I come to your sanctuary with deepest awe to bow and worship and adore you. So we come to worship. We worship whether it's at home or in a corporate setting, but we enter in, and it's not based on how I'm doing or how I'm feeling today. This is big. You finally can get outside of yourself. Like, you do this because it's covenant. Because it's covered, the relationship, the reality is covered by a covenant. So you come in deepest all, you bow, you worship, you adore him. Lead me, Lord, in the pathways of your pleasure, just like you promised me you would, or else my enemies will conquer me. And that was the same word he gave to Cain. Like, be careful. Sin is crouching at the door. Do well. Do this thing that you know, because this isn't an option. I remember Banny Leifscher, who is the head of Jesus Culture, when he was a young man and just started in ministry at Bethel, tells a story on one of his teachings. And he got his office. He was young, got his office at the church, and was, I believe, a youth pastor at the time. And you know, when you start out, sometimes you got the position, but you got a lot of time. You're not sure how to occupy your time, and so he bought a fish tank for his office. Why not? I can relate to that. Sure, I would do that. 55-gallon fish tank, lights, couple fish, get some fish. Doesn't pay attention to what works with what. He has this little school of fish and then a few other fish, and he's watching. And he notices one of the little fish, the school of fish, one of them would get isolated from the other, and the next day he'd come into the office, and that one was gone. And he watched this happen till this whole group had disappeared because they got isolated. As long as they stayed in the school, they were safe from whoever was down. You know, there was a predator in there someplace. Sin was crouching at the door, watching, watching, waiting for that moment of opportunity. We all have that enemy in common. He's not greater than us, but he loves to get you separated. Loves to get you separated from your covenant people and your covenant God. And then, bam. And what separates you? Sin can separate you. Your countenance fallen. Want to stay connected so that that flow of grace is continual. There are a few things that separate. And you want to keep that stuff cleared out so you keep connected. So you stay in touch with that. And when you do, that flow is there. So lead me in your pathways of pleasure, just like you promised me you would, or else my enemies will conquer me. Smooth out your path in front of me, straight and level, so that I may know where to walk. And this is what I want for every one of you. I want, if there's chaos in your life, if there's confusion in your life, I want to see that smoothed out. I want for every one of you to be able to identify, here's my path. You got to have a path. Have you ever entered into a storage room and like what you need is way back? I had to do that in this room this morning. Like I had to get something and there was no way. I was going to, you know, kill myself trying to get it if I didn't just move the dolly out, move the chair out, move this out. Like I'm smart now. Instead of trying to walk on things and reach over things, I'm like, oh, let's just stay on the floor. Let's move this, move that. And, there, you know, and then I just walk back and grab, you know, what I needed. Don't try to cheat and hurt yourself. Like, we need the path clear before us so we know what we're to be doing. Because once the path gets cleared, then you can walk with firm footing. And we need to walk that way. You don't get an award for living in confusion and chaos and calling that normal. And some of you just like, well, what else do you do? There are answers to this. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit doesn't want you living like that. It can be very energizing and addictive in the sense that you're just living in that state of, you know. It's a very dangerous way to live. Everything's beckoning for our time and our attention and our money and our vision and our focus. Do you feel the intensity? I do. I just feel bombarded. And you have to identify, here's the right thing to do. And I'm going to have to, maybe I'll look bad if I only do this and don't do that, but it's going to have to be because this becomes, it's about you. You need to know what you are supposed to do. And this is where you find the Lord's pleasure in focusing on that. And you that path gets made clear for you so that you can identify this thing. Maybe you have to answer a question. Why didn't the Lord honor something that I did? Why didn't he breathe on something I did? Why didn't he bless something that I did, something I gave myself into or my money into? And it's good to stop and go, hear the voice of the Lord say, if you do well, your countenance will be lifted up. Okay, that means there's something to change here. There's something to pay attention to. What is it? That's good. Don't do that in a striving way. Just do that in a way that you know that you have a faithful Father that wants to help you. And you pray for the Holy Spirit's given to comfort you and instruct you, to lead you in the Lord's, in the pleasures of the Lord, in the ways, in the Lord's ways. And finding those key things that Phyllis is reading this book by Mark Gephardt, she's just eating it up. And she's reading the story of a man that just follows the Spirit. He's not following someone else's book or formula for doing things. He's just in this very free, easy, graceful way, and that he ministered that way. He's not full of anxiety, but wow, he's very fruitful, very fruitful. And he just he just relies in praying in the Spirit and asking the Lord what to do. And when he does that, the Holy Spirit directs him. And oh my gosh, quietly, some of the most phenomenal things happen. And where he functioned at, but it's him. It's his life. He finds himself sitting with presidents of nations. That's not my destiny to try to become that or do that. But my destiny is to identify what's the clear path before me. What is the thing? How does this get cleared out? Ask the Lord for help. Some of you open the door to a cluttered closet and you need to get to the back of it. Like, oh. Anybody shut the door lately? Like, oh. I'm not dealing with that. All right, but it'll still be there tomorrow. And what you need may be at the back. You can only put this off so long. Pretty soon, life passes you and you're going, God's not talking to me. Well, have you done the last thing he whispered in your ear? It is so exciting to be in the flow of the Holy Spirit. Normal life becomes supernatural. Your job that you may or may not like right now, where you spend it can change. Start praying for people. Start just flowing with the Spirit. Get eyes on to see what the Spirit's doing. Make opportunity. None of us are victims. If the Lord wants to change something in your life, it can change. But if you're not walking in obedience, you can be stuck in a bad place for a long time. But getting in the Spirit, giving thanks, being grateful, dealing with your heart issues, getting healed, getting your heart healed, it can open doors. I mean, in a New York minute, things can just change for you. All because you find that peaceful place, you find that path, and that you know by the Spirit leading you, He'll smooth out, he'll make a way through the wilderness, where Isaiah promises this. He'll make a way in the wilderness. A rugged place is into plain. He'll lay out a path before you. It's energizing, isn't it, to find a path to walk in. And it's just fun to find that path, a path that leads you. And you have this good feeling about it. You're a movement. You're not wandering aimlessly, but you're on a path. And the path is opened up before you. The worst feeling is when you're just looking at chaos. And that anything you go to do is not the right thing. That's a bad feeling. That anything you start to do is like, no, I shouldn't do this, I should be doing this. But I shouldn't do that, I actually should be doing this. Before I do that, I should be... We're called to something greater. And there's a way, there's a way that the Lord will lead you right out of some of the things that have been... It doesn't matter how long they've plagued you. There's this redemption and this grace, this supernatural power to enter into a new way, enter into the things of the Spirit, and the Spirit in very, very quickly can make things happen, can bring people into your life, can bring resources into your life, can bring opportunity into your life. You just follow the path. Path will lead you. And there may even be scary things in it, but you learn to start and stop running from the scary things. Start embracing them. It's crazy. This is where you start to pull your shoulders back a little bit, because you know you're facing your enemies. You know you're doing well in an area. It doesn't have to be pretty. But what a difference from a person that's living afraid of everything, afraid of people, afraid of situations. You're guarded, you're protected, you're paranoid. All of a sudden you start developing all these things. You're taking medications, anything to numb the anxiety. We're called to be overcomers. And the Spirit wants you to be brave and courageous and encounter and go after this. So today, however this may look, I don't know, but I don't want this to just be a good talk. I want us to just have some time with the Lord where in ministry where we identify some things and you get some direction, you commit your way to the Lord, that you come under the covenant, like you enjoy the covenant. He's secure, like come under the love and the mercy of the Lord. I don't know why we get out from under it. It's the silliest thing that we would ever remove ourselves from that. But the relationship, it will calm the anxiety where he's just the covering is there and he speaks to you. I got this. It's good. Like I'll fix this. I'll make a way where there's no way. We're like planning and scheming and we're angry and we're getting all, you can just see the level of anxiety rising sometimes in our faces. And we have greater promises than that. That's not our destiny. That's not our promise. Promise is to find this path to walk on. That the path ahead of us, that it will lay out. Doesn't matter what your age is, doesn't matter what your history is. What matters is today, what's the thing? What's the thing?